Then you can see the needle move.
Yesterday, Tuesday, January 14th, was another big day. It was a day that President Segni of Italy and Madame Segni were going to come for their state meeting. It began with a very mundane business of getting my white chiffon dress shortened, and then spending an hour or so reading the material, the background material on Italy, its state of politics and economics, on the life of the Segnis that Frank Malloy had brought me the evening before, looking at the pictures of the members of the party so I would recognize them. Then, at noon, I drove down with Lyndon to the Union Station for the official greeting. President Segni is rather like an elderly gnome with spidery white hair and a gentle smile, which belies the long years he's spent in government with all the top posts there are, Minister, Prime Minister, Minister of Agriculture, Minister of Foreign Affairs. Madame Segni is plump and gentle and easy to be with. We met them in 18 degree weather with every breath that we blew just going out in front of us in a great white cloud of steam. We walked through the lined up flags of all the 50 states of the Union and into a little platform where there were the usual greeting ceremonies, exceptly slightly snarled up by the cold because a good many musical instruments won't play outdoors in 18 degree weather, and we had to rely pretty much on drums. Then we got in the cars for a parade down Pennsylvania Avenue. It was a crystal bright day, gorgeous sunshine, snow everywhere, and the Capitol never looked whiter, and the brilliant green and red and white flags of Italy and our own flags gave the day a festive air. There were a good many people out, considering the weather. When we reached Blair House, we said goodbye, and I went back for a lunch on a tray, a good deal more reading on my whole brochure about Italy, going over the guest list, looking in to see what the state dining room looked like and being very pleased with it, going in to listen with, I must admit, something of a tremor to the practice of the Christian minstrels, and no tremor at all for Robert Merrill, but finding that I was late for it, and then checking out the lovely yellow room, which I found, I'm glad I did check it out, because even in this house, things need dusting every now and then. After my good friend, Mr. Pear, had come and fixed my hair, I went into the yellow room and had lots and lots and lots of pictures made, some of which I hope to heaven will turn out good. Then, all dressed up in my pretty white, sort of Grecian flowing chiffon, and with Lyndon, we began to wait for the momently bulletin to go down to meet them. Pretty soon it came, and we walked out onto the front steps of the White House, into the blaring light of the photographers, and into the icy weather without a coat to say hello to two very nice elderly people and the leaders of their government who were accompanying them. Next, and this is always a part of the evenings that I have liked best when they've been evenings with the Kennedys, we went back up to the yellow room. Chief Justice and Mrs. Warren were there, Secretary of State and Mrs. Rusk, and of course, besides the President and Mrs. Segni, there were the ambassador from Italy to us, Mr. Finney Ortea, ambassador to Italy, Mr. Reinhardt and Mrs. Reinhardt, and of course, Angie and his lovely wife, Robin, without whom such things just couldn't go on, and the chief members of the Italian party. We had a drink, we looked at the pictures of the arrival, and then we went into the gifts, and that was when I was really proud of the people who worked for me, because the gifts showed imagination and charm, or so I thought. There was a silver box, and on the outside, the map of the United States and the map of Italy, and a sentence from Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, which said, "Italy remains to all the land of dreams and a vision of delight." I think up until about a week ago, we'd have called it a cigarette box. It is now called a desk box. And there was, even more delightfully, a letter written in 1774 from one Philip Mazzei, a compatriot of our guest of honor, who was a friend of Thomas Jefferson and Benjamin Franklin, and who had been asked by them to come to this country and look into the possibilities of improving our production of wheat and in the introduction of vineyards in this country. It was old, authentic, and charming, and then it was translated into English and Italian in a little leather-framed pamphlet attached. Next, downstairs, down that rather terrifying staircase to the tune of Hail to the Chief, and to stand in line and meet all the guests who were assembled in the East Room. Naturally, beside the leadership in the government, there were all of the members of Congress of Italian descent. And believe me, there's plenty. Pete Rodini, Dante Fussell, Silvio Conti, and so on and so on and so on. It was particularly nice to see our old friend Victor Anfuso, former congressman and now judge, who was with us in Los Angeles before July. The labor leaders were there in good supply, also David Dubinsky, George Meany, and Walter Reuther. I was a little sad to see that Walter Lippmann, the years are at long last telling on that very splendid face. It gave me a lot of pleasure to see Mrs. Mester there, looking just simply stunning. And Scooter and Dale were, of course, two that I liked so much to have with us. And then there was Mrs. Charles Marsh, and she said something very nice. "Charles is here in spirit, you know," she said. After doing all the reading about Sardinia being a crossroads of the worlds with the Phoenicians, the Carthaginians, the Spaniards, not to mention the Romans and the Greeks and the Lord knows who all having traveled there and left there the relics of their lives and civilizations, and after having read about President Senior being a farmer and all the many careers in government he'd had over the last, vigorously for the last 20 years and before that, also, that is, before the interim of Mussolini, I found that I didn't need to have worried quite so much about what to talk to him about because it was pleasant and easy. Mr. Saragat, on my other side, the foreign minister, I had to try a bit on that. The room was lovely. After coffee and drinks, we went into the entertainment. Richard Adler, composer and producer, and our old friend from the days of Linda Bird's party, did the introducing, and first, there was Robert Merrill of the Metropolitan Opera, who sang some Verdi from Il Trovatore, I think it was, and then something from Rossini, The Barber of Seville. I wish I'd had time to tell him how I'd been raised on Scotti and Severini and Petrozzini and Gallegherci and all of the Verdi things. And the next thing that happened was the Christian Minstrels, and everybody under 25, I'm sure it knows them. I must say that I didn't before last night, but I quite fell in love with them. They're seven young people whom Richard Adler describes as the face of young America doing folk music, which they hammer out with a considerable beat and rhythm and vigor that is Well, it's a new play on folk music. I actually saw President Senior patting his foot, and I believed it pleased everybody except maybe the critic, Mr. Hume, in the Washington Post this morning. I believe most of the 140 guests had a good time, and I know I did. When the entertainment was over, we rushed up, told them how much we liked it, and we had some pictures made, which more than any of the pictures, I am hoping will turn out well. And then, and very shortly, we went out into the frosty night to say goodbye on the front porch to the seniors. And Lyndon said, I must get back to work. George McBundy said, the president just hates to be unemployed. And so I mixed around and passed the time of day with some 20 or 30 of the people. And one little thing that I'm going to have to do for me is to get somebody to stand by me at these state dinners, because the name, by the time it is filtered past, I'm the third individual in line, has become indistinguishable, and either I knew them all the time and didn't need it, or else I do not get the name. The person goes by, and there is not that moment of contact that you really want. So at the end of the day, my main feeling is one of great gratitude to Bess and Liz, who are the ones who made it happen, and this really very splendid White House staff. And I'm happy that I got to live it, because I enjoyed it.